Committee, we are waiting for, let's see, we have me here, and we're waiting for our follow members, although Senator Ringo, for the record, is very close. So we're waiting for five members. The order we will go today is probably Senate Bill 858 first, then 362, and then Senate Bill 313. You count, I was going to say, but I didn't want to make you guys feel bad. How was your lunch? Although we're on the...
I'll be on the system.
Yeah. We had cake for lunch.
Just like Marie Antoinette said.
That's right. Jolie Ringo is in Senate Revenue Committee, has arrived. She is in the Senate Revenue Committee office. She's putting files down. And Jolie Ringo's leaving.
Congratulations, Ryan.
Thank you, Jolie.
What is the congratulations?
My wife and I were expecting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. That's our news.
Oh, that's
now it's going out over there.
I will make sure that when this is turned on, that it will.
They're on, so we should know that. I open the hearing. They're open to get you guys to come in.
Well, I will. I'll be right back. I'm going to testify.
I want to move.
It's your choice to say something on the...
Are you going
okay.
To... Are you going to come right back? Because
mm-hmm.
I think we're at the 4-2 to vote on 858.
What's 858?
Sumco. Sumco, Betsy Earls. Is Jackie Winters, Betsy Earls.
Mm-hmm. You said it's a what, Bill? A vote?
Yeah, I'd like to move it. Are you a no?
No, I'm a yes.
Okay, you're going to vote yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I was told you were a no.
No, I didn't come in. Yeah.
Just like.
Well, Bruce, we'll wait for you.
I'll be right back. Hopefully.
No, I didn't. I told them I wanted.
You're on the.
On. So. I just filled it in.
Thank you.
You're doing 858?
Yes. Okay, we're going to get a dash one and then
we need the dash ones. Okay.
You have.
I had a good hearing this morning on my SCB bill and house revenue. That's always a culture.
Okay, good.
If you see, like, how the works out.
He's
got this thing that shows some guy standing by his brand new SUV going like this, like, yep, I wrote off $28,000.
It's insane.
The
federal stuff on that, it's just bamboozles.
No.
It bamboozles.
I know.
It really does. And I'm not easily bamboozled. Open a work session on Senate Bill 858.
Mr. Chairman, I think you need four.
Oh, good point.
For a work session.
Senator Farrell, I'm so glad we have you to tap out of that work session.
As he leaves.
As we lose you. We're back just in limbo again.
We're back to talking about babies. November 6th, huh?
November the 6th.
Ours came November 2nd.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, so we went to a Halloween party dressed as a pumpkin.
It was easy to do.
Yeah. It was.
Did you see Ted out there?
Yep.
You want a man to tap in?
As soon as we get him, but he can't leave.
You mean before I kill you or after?
Hey, Jim. Just right over there. Do you know, we have the board. Let me know. I've been sitting next week. Okay.
You get ready to go, or are you
going to
start?
I'm
not sure.
Yeah, we're going to, we want him to come back before, we're going to vote in about 3 minutes on 858.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 858. Mazin, how are we doing on this bill?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 858, to refresh your memory, was attempting to reduce the minimum investment level needed to and permits the modification of employment levels contingent on the approval of the sponsoring local government for the enterprise zone to get the tax exemption. And 858-1 amendment changed or has the threshold of 18 million pushed up to 20 million, and it also changed the pre-certification time, so now only companies that pre-certified in or between the times of January 1st, 2000 and January 1st, 2001 to be eligible. It also changed the sunset date from 2004 to 2007, and it took out the versions or the section from the bill that allows for a refund for payments done already. And the last, since the last time we've heard it, we put the revenue impact numbers on it, and we're looking at those conditions being so narrowly focused to have probably some the one that gets the immediate impact, and then estimate that there is at least will be one in about the year 2004 where that could apply to have a total impact of about 750,000 a year until the time of the sunset and in 4 years.
Thank you. We're in work session on Senate Bill 858, which would allow the City of Salem with Sumco to renegotiate their enterprise zone.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Ringo.
I move the Dash 1 amendments.
Senator Ringo has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 858. Any questions or discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Ringo.
I move 858 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ringo has moved Senate Bill 858 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions or discussion? Senator Corcoran.
Mr. Chair, I just want to point out for the record that there was some concern by labor about this bill, and there have been clawback provisions put in, and I hope that local governments, not just Salem in this case, but in any case, when there are attempts made to create enterprise zones or to create tax exemptions of any kind, either property or income, with these to solicit companies coming in, that the local governments negotiate clawback provisions with regards to getting their money back if, in fact, the conditions aren't met. Because there's just a horrible story coming out of Albuquerque last week that it was in, or whenever the Sony announcement happened, closure of the Sony plant, that and Sony lived their entire time in Springfield on exemptions. There was Phillips Electronics in Albuquerque picked up their equipment and moved to a foreign country on the day that their exemption expired. So that kind of behavior needs to be addressed, and I think they are addressed in the Sumco letter, so I'll be supporting the bill.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to explain my no vote ahead of time. I think in good economic times I can justify this, but right now I can't. There's a lot of other people who need economic incentives as well, and they're certainly not being given those because the restrictions we're placing upon them, and so For that reason, I'm going to be a no vote.
Thank you. Further discussion? Tara, can you please call the roll?
We have a roll.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Senator Winters will carry her bill for SUMCO and the City of Salem. Scott here.
National bargain was SUMCO 750. And so I said, I just can't bear to look at anything with a 750 on Senate floor and amending this.
Let's go into Veronica. Are you ready on Senate Bill 313?
Oh, sure.
What are we doing here?
313.
Senator Deckard and Senator Fisher.
That would be quite the bill.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 313. Mr. Warner, you've done a great deal of work. This is a gut and stuff bill, so members can really ignore the original bill, which we already passed as a House bill, onto the governor's desk on e-commerce enterprise zones. This deals with a new idea on the film and video office, a version of Senate Bill 79, and we'll let Paul, Warner, and Veronica update us.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 313-1 is an alternative to Senate Bill 79, which, as you recall, is a calls for a $2 million allocation from a lottery to the Film and Video Office to be used to offset costs of film production in Oregon. And what this bill does is retain that same language in terms of the office playing a role of certifying activity in the state of the film and video industry, allowing dollars to offset up to 10% of the certified costs, or $250,000 for a motion picture, $30,000 for a television episode. But the difference here between this bill and Senate Bill 79 is that it establishes a tax credit program, and the idea here is to allow the office to sell tax credits to Oregon taxpayers, and then they make a donation into the film development fund, and those dollars are then used by the Film and Video Office to offset the costs of production companies here in Oregon. The tax credit idea is something we have looked at, set up a program last session, and modify that in House Bill 3184, which you may see now on child care costs. So it is a format that's still being developed, but we do have some experience with it.
Past ones should be in front of all of us, Veronica.
The reason that we started looking at this alternative was just the whole question of, is there another way to fund this program other than a straight allocation of lottery dollars? And the reason that we don't just offer a tax credit to the film companies, which would...
We just need to get your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Veronica Reinert. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Film and Video Office. The reason that we don't just offer a tax credit to the film companies is that figuring out what their Oregon tax liability would be would take years, because it would be dependent on what the profits from their films would be, and then a portion dependent on what the profits in Oregon versus their profits worldwide. By the time they release to theaters, release to cable, release overseas, release to video and DVD, all of that can take years. And so whatever tax credit there would be would end up actually probably going to a distribution company and not to the production company. Therefore, it doesn't really affect the here and now costs of what does it cost to produce a movie in Oregon versus what does it cost to produce a movie in another more competitive market. So that's where we came up with the idea of our office receiving the tax credits and transferring those to raise the cash to keep the program a straight rebate to the production companies that's a predictable thing. If they spend $1.5 million here, they get $150,000 back. That's something that's marketable. That's something that they know going in how that will offset the costs in their budget. We did model this on a child care division bill that was passed last session, but is back this session to take care of some legal issues that came up with it. And in doing further research on this concept and finding out how things are working or not working with the tax with the child care tax credit bill, we have discovered that this approach definitely has some challenges to us. You know, from the film office point of view, if the original version, Senate Bill 79, would work, that would be our preference. It's straightforward. I could hit the ground running in July and marketing it. I could probably have a production in here by the fall with it. If we go the SB 313 route, we have to put out an RFP for a tax credit marketer, then set up systems with them to market the tax credits. We either need to get a ruling from the federal government that these would qualify as a charitable donation on federal taxes, or we have to discount the tax credits when we transfer them to make up for the increased federal tax liability that the people we're transferring them would have. And so figuring all of that out, the marketer that I spoke with estimated that it would probably take up to a year to set that up. So we're looking at a delay in being able to start the program and then, you know, being able to sell enough credits to actually have enough money in the fund to offer the rebates to production. So it's not my first choice, but given that or not being able to do anything with the with what I've been seeing in the industry, I was just at a trade show in Los Angeles, and about 75% of the people who came by the booth, first question out of their mouths was, what incentive programs do you have? And in fact, the film commissioner started joking amongst ourselves about that's how we could qualify leads now. Do they know enough to ask that question? Because if they don't ask the question, they're probably not a real producer. And we were next to other booths that were touting their incentive programs. And I spoke with the New Mexico Film and Video Office Director, who said that with their incentive program, which they started last year, they have quadrupled their business in the last 8 months. And they are expecting to quadruple it again in the next 8 months. Now, theirs is a little more aggressive than ours. They have an oil and gas fund that seems to be unlimited. and so they don't have the caps on the rebates that they're offering to production. So they're able to offer more. But ours is competitive with what a lot of other states are doing. And as we found out last summer with the Dust Factory, is enough to make the decision for several productions. So that's kind of where we are. Would prefer it if 79 would work and could get through, but this is an alternative that is an interesting way to do it. Advantages to the state being you don't have to set aside the money right up front, and actually by the time that the tax credits came through, we probably would have already brought in the production and you would have already had the revenues from the production crew's wage withholding. So there would be no net loss from that.
On Senate Bill 79.
Well, on 313 is actually what I was talking about, because by the time their tax credits come through the process, it would be a delay. On 79, I would be interested in looking at options if there's a way to allocate the number and the money in smaller chunks. You know, if we could be allocated $500,000 up front, to know there's a fund there and be able to market it. If there's a, I don't know if there's any mechanism that would exist for then replenishing that as it's drawn down. You know, if production was coming in and the system was working and we were generating jobs and revenue and spending that down to have it replenished again to bring in more production and make it kind of a revolving fund.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, on the revenue, the maximum would be $1 million per fiscal year in terms of the credits, but as Veronica was saying, the impact on the revenue stream is when the purchaser of that credit uses it against their own liability. So there would be some lag there, and of course, corporations have tax years that start any month of the year, so there would be a lag when that would actually hit the general fund revenue stream.
But so they would have to spend the money, the outside film, well, all the local producers would have to spend the money first to receive. So we would be assured as a state that the money had been spent locally or in our state before, that's my understanding, before with either of the two, 79 or 313.
Right. As far as the rebates to the producers, they would not get any money from Oregon until they had already shot their film here, hired our people, and spent their money. On the allocation side, we would be selling up to $1 million of tax credits up front to put money in the fund. So that would be, you know, those tax credits could come through without any of that money having been spent. I mean, highly unlikely, because I think we'd get a show pretty quickly once we get the fund set up.
Do you feel strongly that once we get the incentive fund in place that we should see another large-scale film production here?
I don't know that I would say large scale, because a film like The Hunted isn't really what's attracted to a $250,000 a payment. This program is really aimed at the $1 million to $10 million film market. Part of that is those are the shows that are looking more at the bottom line, but they're also the shows that hire 85% to 90% local crew. The Hunted hired a lot of people, 250 people, but they tended to be more construction people and people farther down the ranks of each department, and they bring all their department heads. I mean, it's still a great thing. They spend a lot of money. But this program is really targeted at smaller productions. If we wanted to do a program to target those big productions, we could, but we would need to be willing to rebate them a lot more money to make a difference.
Thank you. Senoringa.
One of the, I guess, the questions is, other states have these incentive programs, and Oregon needs an incentive program so that at least we're competitive. Senate Bill 79 created an incentive program that had some, it was unworkable. It was difficult because of knowing where the revenue comes from, and I'm wondering, what do other states use? If Senate Bill 79 had those problems, what do other states use?
As I mentioned, New Mexico has an oil and gas fund. The other states, I believe, are using either general funds or lottery funds. They're often set up as, you know, economic development programs, as far as I know.
I mean, I just need to follow this better. I mean, can you say again what the problem was with Senate Bill 79? I think it had to do with tracing where the money comes from.
No, it's not with tracing. It's just with the reality of setting aside lottery funds in the current budget situation. Senate Bill 313 was just exploring, is there another way to fund this that doesn't ask you to set aside money up front? Again, for me, the money up front is much easier and cleaner, and frankly, the returns to the state would be better, because with the tax credits, we're probably going to have to end up discounting them. Which means, you know, we're selling them for less than their face value. So that if I have $1 million worth of them, I may only have $700,000 in my fund, which means I only have $700,000 to rebate to films.
The problem with Senate Bill 79, I don't know if it was a problem. We have the choice, and we'll probably come back to this issue Tuesday and see just where the committee's at. And Senate Bill 79 needs to go down to Ways and Means, because it's really a funding measure.
Right.
So I asked these guys to try to find a creative way that the state, since it's an if but, the money has to be spent in the state for any incentive to kick in, to try to find a creative way with a marketable tax credit. This is the proposal they came back with, was 313. And Veronica will help us with that. We need to decide if we want to do anything in this arena, send 79 down to Ways and Means, or pass 313 as a marketable, like the child care tax credit. It's an arena.
You mentioned we'd have to retain a tax credit marketer. Where do you retain?
You can put out an RFP, and this is part of what I learned in talking with the child care division. They put out an RFP for a marketer, and actually that's one of the things I would suggest changing in the language of this bill, is instead of limiting it to a tax credit marketer, just say a marketer, because somebody may not do that as their main type of business, but they might be experienced in it. Anyway, they put out an RFP, and they had three or four people respond to it, and I talked to the person who had the program gone forward, probably their top contender, who seemed to have the most experience.
What are the transaction costs of going this route? I mean, the tax credit marketer is going to need to be paid.
Right.
So what is that amount, and what other transaction costs are there?
How much the tax credits themselves would need to be discounted will depend on whether we are able to get a ruling from the federal government that treats them as a charitable donation or not. So it could be that they don't need to be discounted much to... If that ruling does not come through, it might be as much as 22% to 30%. The tax credit marketer, the one I talked to, and again, we weren't talking, we didn't have a deal to offer. It was just sort of ballpark. He estimated 10% to 20% for his fees because he has a lot of setup costs. And what he looks at in that is risk level. How long does he think the program's going to be around? If he feels like it's going to be around a long time, then he can amortize his cost. That percentage will be less. If our agency is willing to take on some of the marketing and PR duties, which we would definitely be willing to do, and we actually have a pretty good PR background in our agency, if we were willing to take some of that on, that would reduce those costs as well. So it would really come down to exactly what our RFP asked them to do. When he was talking with the child care division, they were basically asking him to do everything, which meant, creating public service announcements and marketing pieces and all of that. Some of that we could do in-house.
Okay. Waiting for the federal court ruling, is there a case pending on this question?
I don't know that it's a court ruling. Do you know?
We have Dexter here to comment on that issue.
Can we do this? We're going to lose our next... We have a conflict. Can we close this for just 2 minutes?
Sure.
Then we're going to move 362, or hear about the amendments, and then we'll come back to this issue. And Dexter, does that work for your time?
That's fine.
Great.
Dexter can get his answer ready.
That's right. Close the work session on Senate Bill 313. Open the work session on Senate Bill 362. Mr. Gibson, you helped craft this Dash 1 amendment,
right?
Which answers some of the questions that the committee had
right.
when we heard this, I think, a week ago
yes.
on incenting venture capital and university research in the state.
That's right, Senator Deckard. I think the challenge was thrown up by the committee that although there was extreme support for the bill, could we narrow its scope, as you recall, and for Senator Hannon's benefits, since he was not able to...
We just need a name.
Scott Gibson, Gibson Enterprises, here in my capacity as a member of the Oregon Council for Knowledge and Economic Development set up by the legislature. After 18 months of study, that body, with me chairing the Capital Formation Committee, made a recommendation that we felt would cost the state little or nothing. We've got a little bit of a difference of opinion on that, but crafting something where virtually no one in the state would qualify, only people who would move to this state and establish a venture capital fund and indeed invest every single year in Oregon would be eligible for this. There are two people in Oregon who would qualify, and if you would like me to produce when this hopefully comes to the floor, letters from them indicating that they would not seek the exemption, I would be happy to get those.
That.
Yeah, I think we should too. So we've tried to put the bar very, very steep. That would really mean only incremental partners moving here with funds that have at least $75 million in capital and investing at least $2 million of that $75 million every year in order to qualify for this incentive. We've also narrowed this down, defining the sole signature research center instead of talking about multiple signature research centers. And we define that signature research center to be exactly the one that the Oregon Council of Knowledge and Economic Development is advocating creating through a different Senate bill. We've limited the quantity of people who will qualify. Again, I have no issue with that. We've tightened up all of the language. I've reviewed this in detail and think it really addresses every issue which was brought up, and there were some very good issues brought up. So I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone might have, or certainly for Senator Hannon's benefit, if he has any questions, since we've worked so hard for 18 months on this and other bills.
I appreciate that. I think the Dash 1s really do address some of the questions and tighten up to get it exactly where we wanted it to be, which is a very tightly, narrowly draft it instead of program that I think will be really beneficial to the state. Questions or discussion were in work session.
Would you like a motion, Mr. Chair?
Make sure we have any questions or yes.
I'd move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 362.
Senator Starr has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 362. Any discussion, questions? Objections?
Order. Still going to the floor?
To the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 362 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 362 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion, questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannah.
Again, it's not that the idea isn't good, but in these economic times, we're going to be releasing a budget tomorrow that it's going to impact education. It's going to close schools. It's going to impact people's lives. And I cannot be in a position of giving tax credits, tax relief, and tax breaks. At the same time, I'm telling them it's more important to close schools than it is to collect taxes. And for that reason, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be voting no.
I appreciate if you'd like me to say something on that. I appreciate the apparent contradiction. I appreciate your fervor on your stance. I would reiterate. We've carefully crafted this so that only two people in Oregon, Jerry Langler and Dave Chen of OVP, qualify for this. And both, you shouldn't pass this bill unless I produce those letters for you saying they will not seek this incentive. So therefore, it is really only going to be revenue from partners of venture capital firms from Northern California and Seattle predominantly, who choose to relocate in Oregon and bring their access to their very large venture capital funds to Oregon. That's what it's designed to do. And those people are not currently paying any Oregon tax. And that's why I can sit up here and feel that it's a responsible bill in light of the really dire circumstances. And that's why I can do that.
And Mr. Gibson, the one thing that I would add that I think it's to ensure that we do actually in the future have more dollars to fund schools is that we require in this bill that that those new Oregonians, and there's probably under 100 nationally, that they invest a couple million bucks each year in Oregon-based startups. And that's obviously a multiplier effect in terms of the job generation that could be there. But you can quantify that 2 million. And the good that 2 million that's not in Oregon today that will be there if we're fortunate enough to attract three or four.
Well, in my company, Sequent Computer Systems, when I came up here 25 years ago with Intel, we had that $2 million investment. And that 5 years later, we employed 2,100 people in Sequent Computer Systems. So I've been around venture capital now in Oregon for 25 years, and I know exactly what these partners are capable of doing. It isn't just their money, it's their expertise, sort of like raising a child. A young company is like a child, raising a child with money and with good direction. And this will create jobs, which will ultimately solve our crisis, not exacerbate it.
Thank you. Other questions? Or Senator Farrell?
Mr. Chairman, I think we should take this gentleman at his word and ask him to produce those letters and then move this bill forward.
Yeah, we'd like to.
I'll
carry it on the floor. So
they both verbally
have,
told me that they're willing to do that, so it shouldn't be any issue.
I'd like to have those on the floor.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Other questions, discussion? Chair, can you please call the roll?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I meant before we move the bill forward. I mean, his comment was you should have that letter before this bill moves forward.
I feel comfortable, and I leave it at the committees if people want to. Have a no vote on that. I feel comfortable in working on this for the last 18 months, and I would pledge that I've spoken with the two individuals also, that we can get those letters. And so I'm willing to move the bill forward. I would be the one carrying it on the floor and have those letters on the floor.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Ringa.
I concur with your opinion on that.
Thank you. Senator, would you like to have the letters before we move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that there's any vast urgency to see this bill move forward. I support the concept. I can't see what a day or two delay would matter in this regard.
I don't know what their travel schedule is. I assure you I can produce the letter. They both verbally have told me this is not an issue with them, that they're happy to do this in support of the bill.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I'm convinced absolutely that there's a very small number of people that would ever use this credit, and that they would have to produce the investments in order to use the credit. Mm-hmm. I just think it would behoove us to have that to act on.
We will hold this bill for a couple of days. Thank you, Scott, very much. Really appreciate all the effort and time that you put into this. We will hold it and bring it back in a couple of days. Close the work session on Senate Bill 362. Reopen work session on Senate Bill 313. Dexter and Veronica and...
We haven't moved this bill today.
I hope not.
The movie thing?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I'm going to go do that. Some work.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? This doesn't work?
This is work. Keeping the chair of judiciary happy is even more work.
Oh. Right. Dexter, we were discussing
federal court.
The federal court, and there was a question on the table that Senator Ringo had. If you might be willing to help us with that question.
Sure. Mr. Chair, members, Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. My understanding is that, and this is in the context of the child care division contributions tax credit, which is somewhat similar to, that there was a request made of the IRS local office here in Portland as to whether a contribution that qualified for that tax credit would be deductible as a charitable contribution for federal tax purposes. And the local IRS office said, yes, it would. At about the same time, the Department of Revenue asked the Department of Justice what their opinion on this issue was for state tax purposes. And the Department of Justice initially said it would not qualify for the charitable contribution deduction because the contributor was in fact getting something in return, that being the tax credit. But then subsequently the Department of Justice said that whatever the federal law was would be followed for state law purposes. At the same time, then the question was asked of the National IRS office in Washington, D.C., and I believe that is where the issue is now. And they will, at some point, although this can sometimes take years, issue a letter that says one way or the other whether a contribution that qualifies for the child care division tax credit would be eligible for a charitable contribution deduction for federal tax purposes.
Senator Ringo.
Is it possible that the analysis for a child care tax credit might come to a different conclusion than something for film and video, just given the nature of the contribution?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ringo, the basis for the charitable contribution is that you are making a contribution to a state agency,
not the
underlying purpose, right?
Uh-huh.
So it shouldn't. I wouldn't think it would. It would matter.
Okay. Thank you,
Senator Farrelly.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if our contemplated disconnection between the Oregon and federal tax code would have any implications for assuming that the way a thing is treated for taxes in the federal code would be automatically the default position in the Oregon code. And I think that is in question. So without an IRS determination letter, I'm not certain that you could rightfully assume that what you've created will have the effect later in law that you're intending it to have.
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrelly, there's specific language in the child care division tax credit legislation that you're considering or that somebody's considering that deals with that question. But I think there isn't any. What you're talking about when you talk about changes in laws, legislative changes, and there isn't. This would be an interpretation of an existing law that isn't changed. So I think the question of disconnect and connect does not arise.
Anything further? So I think we're clear on the choices we have. Not passing any of these on film videos. Sitting 79 down to Ways and Means, or you guys will look into further on 313 and the marketable tax credit and see if that's the route that you propose this committee might contemplate Tuesday of next week.
Senator Deckard, if I may. We will do further research on this, and there are some items in here that I think may need some attention, some tweaking on 313, the way it's written, if we did decide to go forward with it. Should I address those now, or?
No, we'll bring this back at least for the committee to look at on Tuesday. I would work with Mr. Warner. Once you make the decision, and I don't know if Tuesday, we'll have to check with the expert to see how we're doing on time.
Okay.
Another one. So, work with Mr. Warner. If 313 is the route you want to go and you want the committee to consider that, then we'll need to get an amendment that really gives you what you want.
Okay.
Senator Metzger, would you like to weigh in?
No, great thing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your work on this. Close the work session on Senate Bill 313 and adjourn the Senate Revenue Committee.